I'd like for you to turn to our scripture this morning as we read together. It is a rather long scripture, but I believe all of it is important to our message this morning. So if you would follow with me, Joshua chapter 1, this is the whole chapter. Now it came to pass, after the death of Moses, the servant of Jehovah, that Jehovah spoke unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all thy people, into the land which I do give to thee and to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, to you have I given it, as I spake unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, and shall be your border. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee, and I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt cause his people to inherit the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, to observe to according to all the law which Moses was servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest have good success whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therefore day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not affrighted, neither be thou dismayed, for Jehovah thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for within 3 days ye are to pass over the Jordan, to go in to possess the land which Jehovah your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of Jehovah, commanded you, saying, Jehovah your God giveth you rest, and will give you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall abide in the land which Moses gave you before the Jordan. But ye shall pass over before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, shall help them, until Jehovah hath given you brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they shall have possessed the land which Jehovah your God giveth them. Then ye shall return into the land of your possession and possess it, which Moses, the servant of Jehovah, gave you before the Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Jehovah, and they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou hast commanded us to do, and whither thou sendest us, we will go. Accordingly, we are hearkened unto Moses in all things, so we will hearken unto thee only. Jehovah thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever be that shall rebel against thy commandments and shall not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall put to death. Only be strong and be of good courage. I want you to let that word settle in your hearts a little bit this morning. I want us to think about it because I am going to deal with the question, how can I know that the Bible is reliable? How can I know that the Bible is reliable? That's a question being asked today. As a matter of fact, it's running rampant in our country. If I were to ask most young people today, what is one of the major reasons that you struggle with Christianity or faith Many of them will say, well, we can't really depend on the Word of God. Skeptics have tried to destroy the credibility of the Word of God, and I want to deal with that issue this morning. There were 12, one from each tribe, men sent out to spy out the land. God had said, this is your land. They sent out 12 spies. 10 came back with a bad report. 2 came back with a good report, meaning they believed that they would follow God's word, it would happen. They would possess the land. 10 were skeptics. They said, oh, you know, they got giants over there. Have you seen the walls? And God had, basically, they were skeptical about the word of God. They must have had other things that were said, like, did God truly say that? I would say that that's probably a good percentage for today. About 10, if you were to take 12 people in our society randomly, about 2 of them would believe that the Word of God is truly the Word of God. About 10 of them would have some level of skepticism about the Bible. I believe it's true today. Joshua and Caleb believed God, that they could conquer the land, and that through him they could fulfill their destiny. They believed in the report of God that was given to Moses. They believed and trusted in the living God, that he was interested in them and he was a personal God who was going to deal with their issues. They trusted in God who would prepare a way for them, a personal God who communicated through his word to his people. They believed in an all-powerful God who could overcome any enemies. They believed in a God at his word, and they were there was no doubt in their minds that this was the word of God. Their very futures they laid on the line, believing the word of the living God. The other 10 were skeptical. Because there were 10 against and 2 for, they said that's the majority, and they wandered in the desert for 40 years. Genesis 3:1 is a scripture that shows the basic skepticism of man and where it comes from. It began with the first man in the Garden of Eden. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? Did God actually say that? Did God really say that? Who are you that God would speak to you? Does God really say things like that, that's concerned about our actions and how we live? Does God even care about our future? Surely you thought he said that, but maybe he didn't say that. Maybe the writer messed it up when he wrote it down. No, wait. If God said that, he truly would have known that you would become like him. You would become a God too. That's what Satan said. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Did God really say that? We hear that today in many areas and arenas of our society. I see so many skeptics about the Bible. They've made themselves experts, but they have such poor logic. As a matter of fact, their logic is full of holes. And as you study those who say and write books that there are 200,000 errors in the Bible, Lord, there's not many more words in the Bible than that. I want you to understand that there are those who say that, you know, the Bible has been changed over thousands of years. The Bible is not credible. This is not truly the Word of God. It was changed by the Council of Nicaea, and Jesus was made a God there. And actually, the real Gospels were the Gospel of Thomas and the Gospel of Peter and the Gospel of Mary that came along with the Nag Hammadi find in Egypt. By the way, Nag Hammadi is the name of the community. They found some books in 1945, and those are the real books of the Bible. And they hold to those because it shows a Jesus that is not godly. These were Gnostic books written by Gnostic people, which was a strange view back during those days. And it was centered in Egypt, and they found these books, and they said, truly, these are the books of the Bible. We can't trust the Bible. What about the additions to the Bible in the Middle Ages? On and on and on it goes. I want you to look. These are just a handful of books that I have that are refuting the skeptics and the critics. These are by tremendous scholars. These are by people who have studied at some of the top universities. These are people who have studied in depth with great study. And also, I want you to know, I read one the other day, and he said, the problem is many of the so-called skeptic expert today don't know Aramaic. They don't even know Aramaic. And yet they're trying to make evaluations on the Bible based on secondary language. And this particular writer does know Aramaic and is an Aramaic scholar and said, the Bible is accurate to a certain extent. There are some scribal errors, but they do not change the text. They do not change the truth of God. Now, I want you to know something. These great scholars say the Bible is accurate. The Bible is truth. There is truth in the Bible. These skeptics say the Bible can't be trusted. Who do we believe? Who do we follow? Do we sit there and just go back and forth reading these things and analyzing these things? I don't think so. I think what we do is we analyze it in a little different way. And I want to talk about that in just a few moments. Do you, any of you remember the group Blood, Sweat, and Tears? The singing group? Good. I can tell your age. Because they did this song I'm getting ready to do in 1969. For those that were born after that, you probably don't know it, although it's played on the radio still today. I want to give you the words because I think it depicted what the 1960s were about and where we've come to today. I love this song. By the way, I just used to sing this song. I didn't even realize totally what I was singing until I started listening to one of these scholars talk about it depicted the society and the direction we were going. Listen to it. I'm not scared of dying, and I don't really care. If it's peace you will find in dying, well then, let the time be near. If it's peace you find in dying, well then, dying time is near. Just bundle up my coffin, cause it's cold way down there. I hear that it's cold way down there. Yeah, crazy cold way down there. And when I die and when I'm gone, there'll be one child born in this world to carry on, to carry on. Now troubles are many. They're as deep as a well. I can swear there ain't no heaven, but I pray there ain't no hell. Swear there ain't no heaven, and I pray there ain't no hell, but I only know by living, only my dying will tell. Yes, only my dying will tell. Yeah, only my dying will tell. And when I die and when I'm gone, there'll be one child born in this world to carry on, to carry on. Yeah, yeah. Give me my freedom. For as long as I be, all I ask of living is to have no chains on me. All I ask of living is to have no chains on me. All I ask of dying is to go naturally. Only want to go naturally. Here I go. Hey, hey, here comes the devil right behind. Look out, children. Here he comes. Here he comes. Hey, don't want to go by the devil. Don't want to go by the demon. Don't want to go by Satan. Don't want to die uneasy. Just let me go naturally. And when I die and when I'm dead and dead and gone, there'll be one child in the world born to carry on, to carry on. Do you hear the skepticism? Not only skepticism of God, skepticism of God's word, the skepticism of the age, the 1960s. It bred within my generation a skepticism about almost everything. To the point you come to this point where you go, listen, the only thing about dying is there'll be another child born, they'll carry on. There's nothing to it. You live for nothing, you die for nothing. But I want to say this. Joshua's skeptics seemed to have many points, but the results were devastating. Those 10 caused the children of Israel to wander in a desert with no purpose, no aim, no hope for 40 years. Now you could say, who was right? Who's right? The skeptics? Or the defenders of the gospel? Who's right? Well, let's look and analyze at the results. The children of Israel, what happened to them? Those 10 spies who led them into the desert, they all died in the desert with scorpions. There was nothing there. Oh, they were good workers, hard workers. They did their jobs with no purpose and no hope. And the very thing that was the destiny that was meant for them, the promise that God had for them, they missed completely. But there were two, Joshua and Caleb. What happened with Joshua and Caleb? You remember? God allowed them to live, and God allowed them to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Who was right? Who was wrong? One received the destiny and the promise of God. The other wandered in the desert. In the scripture, we find Joshua ready to enter the promised land. It says, now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all thy people, into the land which I do give to thee, to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon you, to you have I given it as I spake unto Moses. This promise God had given to Moses, it was extended to Joshua, and Joshua stood on it. Joshua believed it. Moses, God had given it, listen, God had given it to Moses. Had God given it exactly to Joshua? No, God had given it to Moses, but God said, the promise I gave to Moses is your promise. By faith you will go into the promised land, because the promise is this, it's for the children of God. And you have a promise. Every one of us here on this earth today has a promise of God. You have a destiny. God made you for a purpose. But if you don't follow Him, if you don't trust Him, if you don't follow His word, if you don't listen to Him, then you find yourself at times, many times, wandering in the desert, wondering, what purpose is my life? And there are a lot of people out there like that. As a matter of fact, very few skeptics have very much positive to say about this life. I'm going to go on and read the next part of the scripture that we had this morning. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your border. They shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt cause this people to inherit the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, to observe and to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest have good success whithersoever thou goest. Listen to this now. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosper. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. When? When you follow the living word of God. When you put your trust in my word. When you follow by faith what I have given you. My dad wrote this book. It was for the family. He just made enough copies for our family, for each member. And it's called An Incredible Journey. And in there, he talks consistently in every phase of his life, how he turned to God to ask God, how he stood on God's word, how he trusted God with his promises, how he constantly followed God. And then as he looked back, and as a matter of fact, in the beginning here it says, even at the beginning of this writing, I am enjoying a deep satisfaction in placing in print my life's experiences. Passing information to my family and friends is rewarding. In addition, I have a deep satisfaction in giving thanks and great honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for fashioning my life and its experiences. I have a deep sense of pleasure in thoroughly believing that my life has in fact been the unfolding of His plan. His plan in my life has not been perfect, not because it is not perfect, in fact perfect, but rather my following Him was and has been faulty. In the main, I have the deep satisfaction that my life has been filled with the peace, love, and grace given to me by my Heavenly Father, for which I am ever grateful. Without Him, my life would have been a total different account. All praise to God. These memories in their present form are intended for family only. But I read them to you. But I want you to know that when he wrote that, he made another statement later. He said, at the time, I didn't see God's hand. At the time, I felt like maybe I was wandering. At the time, I wasn't sure if I made the right decision. At the time we follow God, sometimes it looks like this is not working out. But in the middle of it, it is God's hand that is carrying us through. And some of the things we don't like are the very things God needs to have happen so that we will follow Him. His word and trusting in His plan. At the end of his life, I got this book too, by the way, to you older guys. This stuff means a lot to me. You might say, well, my life isn't all that great or important or whatever. That's not it. I love reading from the pen of my father the things that he did and the things that meant things to him. I love reading it. If you haven't done that yet, get you a book. This one's called A Father's Legacy. And in here, it sort of leads you. It says, who gave you your first Bible, and how old were you when you received it, and how did it influence your life? And it just has, when you were young, did you ever go to a funeral? How did it affect you? Things like that, all through there. But at the end, the very end, I wanted to read this to you. What advice about life do you want others to remember when they think about you? This was written in his last days. Now, the reason I know that is because of his handwriting. The older he got, the more it became scribbling, and I couldn't read it. And throughout this book, it was really actually pretty good up here. It's really bad here. The last two or three years of his life, he almost couldn't write. So I know this was near the end of his life. So I'm sharing this with you from a man who's lived a life in God and his testimony of what it meant to live his life in God. And also, if he had to say anything, the last will and testament, here's what he would say. There is no better advice, nor can there be, those that which is set forth in the Scripture. There is one God. Jesus Christ is the true revelation, who is that God. 3, Jesus Christ is the only Son of God. 4, God created all things. Without Him, nothing was created. Jesus, the Son, the Father, God, and the Holy Spirit are one. 5, there is salvation in no other name but Jesus Christ. 6, Jesus is coming again. 7, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. See you in heaven. My dad is saying this. All the truths that the Bible claims are true. I have borne it out in my life. I have lived it. And it is true because whenever he promises anything, it comes true. For the skeptics, they can have all the skepticism they want about the Bible. Well, we found an error here and we found an error there. But when you live your life according to the living Word of God, and God's hand is seen in you as you live according to the Word of God, that testimony trumps all the skeptics. They cannot stand, nor can they abide your testimony that when you follow the living God, God blesses you. God has led you. God has touched you. I spoke with JR the other day, and I told him about my feathers. And, I think some people, I was driving down the road, and I looked up and I didn't see my feather. I keep it on the dashboard. I said, "Where's my feather?" My wife said, "I don't know." I said, no, you don't understand. Where's my feather?" And she said, "I don't know." So I pulled over on the side of the road and I said, "We're going to find that feather." She said, "You're going to get us killed out here on the interstate pulling off the side of the road." I said, "We're going to find that feather." And we looked and we found it up underneath the seat. Why is that feather? I told her, that feather is more important than I am. Because that feather represents the promise of God that he fulfilled in my life. And the promise of God is far more important than me. And it gives me hope. It keeps me focused. It shows me that God's hand is upon me. And every time the skeptic Satan comes to me and says, no, God's word is made alive in me because of the fulfilled promises and what I've seen God do in my life. There is no one who can stand against what I have seen in my life through the word of the living God and how it has been born out in my life. You might be asked one day, "Well, wait a minute. How do you know the Bible's true?" Because I've tested it with my life, and it bore truth in every way. I want you to know that in my life, the Word of God is truly the Word of the living God, and it stands forever. In Jesus' name. Father, help us as you did Joshua, who stood at the very gate, the very threshold of his destiny, of greatness, of success. And he believed the promises of the living God and followed and was blessed. Lord, that we all here might be blessed this morning, that we might not miss our destiny, that we might not miss our promise. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.